Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Classic City, Athens, Georgia. This is Arthur Balin, and coming to you from the capital of the great state of California, the immortal Patrick Toppin.
How are we doing, folks? If you'll excuse me, I'm currently sweating it out and just getting over the fact that BC just squeaked by Eastern Washington in basketball about 15 minutes ago, so we'll take it. BC is 4-1, and we'll talk a little bit about basketball in a sec. But Arthur, there was a basketball game.
And you cut out there for a second. Patrick, I think we're beginning to lose you, but let's talk about the basketball game. You know, like we had two basketball games over the past couple of days. We've actually, it's been a while since we've been on the air, so we have a whole lot of basketball to talk about. So last Wednesday, BC started the Gotham Classic against High Point, and they took that game 59-33 in a rather low-scoring affair, which is when, in stark contrast, to the
Belmont game, which
the Belmont game, which was very high scoring, which we'll talk about in a second. But that was just a game where Belmont just shot the lights out in the second half. And then tonight, BC won, but boy, was it hairy.
Yeah, I'll talk about the first two for a sec. The game against High Point was pretty easy. I mean, it's a pretty dominant win if you just look at the scoreboard, 59-33. High Point never really had a chance in that one. The defense was just too good, and that's just too much of a talent mismatch. The game against Belmont, I want to say first and foremost, that it is just as bad and also not as bad as the scoreline looks. BC was down 4 at halftime. We're competing really well with a really talented Belmont team. This is a team that's probably going to be in the tournament. They're projected to win the Ohio Valley Conference. They lost it last year. I think they came in second to, they came in second to Murray State, who had a pretty impressive tournament run of their own. So, my general thoughts of the game was that BC looked really good in the first half, and then I think the youth started, or not just the youth, the newness started to show a little bit in the second half, and they sort of reverted back to old habits on defense. They left shooters open in transition. They didn't communicate enough. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think the first half BC team is what you're going to see most of this year, which I think is optimistically a decent NIT team. I think this team is a lot better than I gave them credit for. And I think that they will win a few games they're not supposed to this year and finish at the bottom of the middle of the pack in the ACC. And then obviously tonight they squeaked it out against Eastern Washington, and Eastern Washington also not necessarily a terrible team. They were projected to win the Big Sky, which is another mid-major conference. That's not that impressive. So far, they've only really lost to St. Louis, who looks to be a pretty solid team. They're undefeated, and BC. So it's really hard at this point in the season to take a lot out of basketball games. You are playing some really, really weird teams, and you're not sure if the preseason projections are going to live up to what you thought for the opponents. And so we could look back at this and say, you know, Belmont can go 30 or 27-5, and we'll all be like, that's an okay loss. And Eastern Washington could, you know, totally collapse after they're projected to win the Big Sky for like the first time in 15 years. And we'll say, how on earth did BC not beat them by more? So I'm not taking too much out of this far in the year. It's 5 games. It's a long season. Just strap up and enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll say about Belmont, too, is, you know, KenPom has Belmont, like, at 66. BC's at around, like, 109 or something. And Belmont didn't get to 66 just because they beat BC. So, you know, I think people are going to look at the name and freak out, but that's a really good Belmont team they lost to, so it's really not the end of the world.
I think they played pretty well on offense in that game. They had really efficient shooting. They shot almost 60% from the field and 45% from three. And I don't think they're going to play another team that shoots 60% from three against them. Belmont is a team that is literally tailor-made to take on BC's biggest weakness, which is three-point shooting. So,
Yeah, but so certainly some encouraging signs from the BC basketball, men's basketball team, although certainly some causes for concern. So do you want to move on to BC, the other BC cause for concern?
There's always causes of concern at BC. Are we talking about a horrendous, horrendous blown lead loss to Florida State, a game in which they had 508 yards of offense and almost 40 minutes of possession? Because, yes, we can talk about that, too.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking about. So, obviously, we did not get a chance to talk about this game last week. That's on me. I had a paper that was due. But certainly a lot to talk about. In a game that BC really should have at least been more competitive than they were. To me, watching that game, the score doesn't really show how, like, I think the score was closer than the game actually was. And BC, you know, I really don't know what to say anymore about this team. You know, they had the game against Florida State really should have been a game, like, based on how Florida State came out, they were a very beatable team. And once again, you know, BC got, like, I forgot what you said, but a significant amount of total offense. But Florida State got a little bit more, and they were better at converting on their chances for most of the game.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately what won Florida State this game is that they got the big plays. And you can just look at the score sheet, because, you know, let me count this, because I want to make sure 100%. Yeah, you have 3 touchdowns of more than 60 yards, which is just pathetic. And there was a couple of those that were, I think the first one is blown coverage, but the rest, a lot of them are just missed tackles and being out athleted and out moved in the open field. And so, you know, we've sort of said it, it's kind of just what you've come to expect from the team. I thought, and especially this defense, I thought that the BC offense performed valiantly. I think their end stats are pretty pleasant to look at. Dennis Grossell finished 20 for 29 for over 200 yards. He had one interception AJ Dillon had 165 yards as a team. And they were 14 of 20 on third down. They averaged 4.4 yards per rush, which is not exceptional by AJ Dillon's lofty standards, but it's fine. And they had 40 minutes of possession. Like, this is, if you looked at all those stats, you would say that it should be fine. And it just wasn't. And the answer is that BC just, yeah, they're just, their defense, I think the defense let them down again in this game. And I was unsurprised, but still disappointed. I feel like the Malcolm in the Middle meme where I expect nothing and I'm still let down.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. And, you know, it's like we talked about the Jekyll and Hyde-ness of the defense, you know, a few weeks ago when, you know, BC really had a really phenomenal game against Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. But then BC comes back and they have that game against Florida State. And, you know, it's kind of the same old story yet again. You know, it's a story that we got at Louisville. It was, you know, the story really that we got against Wake Forest. It was, you know, a close, like a game where the offense was certainly putting the team in a place where they could win and the defense just couldn't stop Florida State. And the game was never really kind of, and it really didn't feel close at any point.
I think also, to me, I think this is a game that, pending a what I will call a miraculous upset this week at Notre Dame, I think this is the game that seals Steve Adazio's fate. At least I pray that it does, because I think it reminded us all again of just all of his limitations as a coach. BC went 0 for 2 on field goals. They had bad punting and field goal decisions based on just the year they've had and the game. I'm out of patience. I just don't care anymore. And so I hope this is the game that gets Steve Adazio fired, because this is a very winnable game. Florida State was coming in with a interim head coach and a pretty mediocre team by their standards and got it done. So, yeah, I can't be bothered to care. The team is just not done enough to warrant any enthusiasm, especially on the defensive end, especially on the coaching end. So, yeah, Dennis Grossel, I was impressed again. AJ Dillon remains incredible, and that's about all I have to say. I'm done.
Yeah, one thing that I'll mention before we shift over to talk about this upcoming Saturday, which will be great. This was a game that BC absolutely needed to win. It was against a Florida State team that just fired its coach. I don't really like the demoralization argument, but certainly it's a program that's in shambles. And yet BC was let that program that was in shambles, supposedly, come in and dictate the way the game went. And again, it's kind of the same old story. Like I feel like we kind of just keep coming back to this, and we keep coming back to, you know, every single week we're talking about something dumb that Steve Adazio did. Every time we come back from a game, we talk about, you know, last year, like, or sometimes it was the defense in past years, or sometimes the offense in past years. Now we're talking about the defense. And there's always just this one thing. And for some reason, just Steve Adazio has just never been able to put it together. But, you know, this is a game that BC, you know, it's against a very beleaguered Florida State team. It was a chance to, you know, shut all the haters up. It was a chance for BC to become bowl eligible, like, and not have any worries going into the rest of the season. It was the Rim Bandana game, which is a huge deal, but it was also in November for some reason. But it was a big deal. And, you know, ultimately, the effort needed to be better than that. And at this point, and I wrote about this last week, at this point, there's nothing else that we can possibly glean from the BC football program under Steve Addazio that we don't know already. It has been 7 years with Steve Addazio at the helm. And there have been good moments. There have been high moments. We will always have USC in 2014. And we will always have that Maryland game that was a lot of fun in Detroit. But we had a lot of low moments. And particularly in the past 2 years, I just kind of am at the point where I'm like, okay, what else you got? And the answer is kind of becoming very clear that the answer is we don't have anything else. And at this point, it's answer the bell and move this team in the right direction or don't. But if Steve Addazio is retained this year, it should be interpreted by the BC community and by BC football fans everywhere as the organization, the athletic department, wantonly saying it doesn't matter and BC is not capable of being better than
them. Yeah, I agree. And I think actually I'm going to disagree with your characterization that Florida State dominated this game or whatever, because they didn't. I thought BC, in terms of just control, kind of controlled the tempo for most of it. It was just they just continued to make the same. They have made the same mistakes. And they continue to make the same mistakes of giving up chunk plays and failing on special teams that has plagued the Boston College team under Steve Addazio for the last, at least as long as I've been a fan. And the offense has been good, and the offense has been bad, and we've seen improvement, and the defense has been good, and the defense has been bad. But there's just sort of consistencies in the way that the games are managed and the team plays that I just can't get behind anymore. And, I guess to me, what I don't understand is why Boston College and the administration backs Steve Addazio so much. It's not like Steve is this old venerated coach who, you know, took BC to the promised land once upon a time, a long time ago, and is now just living out his glory years. He's not a Bill Snyder or a Jeff Tedford or someone like that, where, you know, the answer is just, did he stick around too long? He's never been good enough to warrant this kind of loyalty. I don't understand it anymore. I'm ready to move on and talk about Notre Dame in a game that I hope will further seal the coffin on Steve Addazio's tenure at Boston College.
Yeah, one more thing I want to say before we move on to that is just, I just want to clarify. You know, the offense was very solid, and just to kind of rephrase what I was saying. The offense is solid, and they move the ball very well against Florida State. But the defense let up 524 yards in 21 minutes and 35 seconds. When I say, like, BC, it got pushed around, that's what I'm talking about. But let's talk about Notre Dame. Patrick, what are your thoughts on Notre Dame?
Notre Dame is going to come in and they are going to blow out BC. Actually, sorry, Boston College is going to go in and get blown out. This is a team that has I guess, actually, let me check the weather forecast real quick. The only way that I can see Notre Dame losing this game is if they do the same thing that they did in the Michigan game, where in, like, torrential downpour, they decide to pass the ball 40 times. And while it looks like there will be some sleet, yeah, I don't really see. I mean, this is a good team. They've only lost, in my mind, Notre Dame has lost two games. I mean, they've lost two games. They lost one in Georgia where they played really, really well, and, you know, lost to a top five team in the country by 6 points. And they lost to Michigan in a game where their coaching staff just didn't even look like they had a secondary game plan. And aside from that, the only games that have been kept close are USC and Virginia Tech. And the Virginia Tech game was a lot, for lack of a better word. I don't really know how to describe it. That's probably the game that BC has to take the most film out of and look at how to, you know, make Ian Book throw turnovers and how to completely shut down the Notre Dame running game, because Virginia Tech held Jafar Armstrong held the leading rusher after the quarterback for Notre Dame in the Virginia Tech game went 19 carries for 37 yards. That is the only way that they can win, is to be totally dominant on defense, which I don't think they can do. The only other game that has been close for Notre Dame is USC, and BC doesn't have the wide receivers that USC has. Because at the end of the day, USC, even on their worst game, has 4 or 5-star wide receivers who they can just chuck the ball at. So, yeah, I don't think BC has a shot in this game. And I think the 19-point spread is probably going to be good. I would take the over. So, I think this won't be as bad as Clemson, but it will be. I don't know, maybe the inverse of Syracuse, at least in terms of the final score line.
Yeah, I mean, what I'll tell you is, having seen Notre Dame play like a really good team in Georgia, like earlier in the season, I'll tell you straight up. On a neutral field, I don't know if Georgia wins that game because Notre Dame was moving the ball really well. Like, it was just a very, very good matchup. And the difference, honestly, seemed to be the crowd noise that, like, Notre Dame just kept making mistakes because of the crowd noise. Neutral site, I think Notre Dame wins that game, hands down. So that's a team that has a very good chance of making the college football playoff. That Notre Dame probably could have and should have beaten. So that is Notre Dame. And BC is going to go on the road in a game that Notre Dame, who has been playing really good football the past couple of weeks, is going to want to make an impact, make a good impression, because they're trying to come back and get a really good bowl spot. And, you know, at the end of the day, BC is just not as good as Notre Dame. And they're just, based on how BC has been playing the past couple of weeks, and based on how Notre Dame's been playing the past couple of weeks, the difference is just way too much.
Yeah, to me, I look at it and I think that the difference maker in this game is gonna be Ian Book, who apparently is from El Dorado Hills, which is right next to me right now. I didn't know that. That's mildly cool. Ian Book is like the sort of ideal college-style quarterback, where he's an efficient and good passer. He's got a 76.2 QBR. He's completing just under 60% of his passes at 7.6 yards per attempt. He's got 26 touchdowns. He has two interceptions. And can run the ball really, really well. For like I don't really know how to describe, like, he can run the ball really, really well. And I think that BC has struggled in the past with dual threat quarterbacks, especially dual threat quarterbacks who don't really fit the, actually they struggle with all dual threat quarterbacks. I won't even qualify that. And I think that he is basically built to just take advantage of a BC defense that has had a lot of issues. And I think a lot of gap integrity issues, a lot of tackling issues. So, you know, OBC, we hardly knew ye. Yeah, I mean, I think I'd expect another decent game by AJ Dillon in the offense. I just don't think it will ever be enough to overcome this defense right now, especially against an offense this talented.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't even think it's relevant how AJ Dillon and the Elk do. I mean, I think they'll do fine, but it's the defense is gonna get pummeled. Although they are, like, if they're doing a back and forth thing, they are due for a good week. So who knows? But. Yeah, I just don't see the defense holding up against an offense that's strong as Notre Dame.
Yeah, and at least the way I see it, like, the Notre Dame defense is pretty good, too. They only allow 4.1 yards against. They hold opposing quarterbacks like a 54% completion rating and just 5.9 yards per pass. And an 8% sack percentage. So, like, they're statistically really good, and they're all, you know, efficient. They take care of the ball. They get turnovers. They average, 2.2 takeaways a game and just under one turnover, so they're doing great there. Yeah, to me, like, this game is built for a BC ass-whooping. And, you know, like I said, I just kind of have a hard time caring. Because ultimately, I think that the BC defense is not strong enough to stop anyone. And the Notre Dame defense is still really good. It's with a lot of talented guys who, yeah, I'm just looking at the stats here again. Hold better teams than BC to lower points. Well, have held better teams than BC to low point totals, low yards per game, and inefficient days. So, yeah, if BC scores more than 21, I will guess that it's a blowout and Notre Dame has stopped trying. So, yeah. I won't even give away for BC to win this game this year. So, I apologize.
I mean, truthfully, if BC wins, it will be so remarkable. I honestly just can't see it. I mean, I you know, can't wait for people to be like, you're so down on them. Like, can you see the way? I can't see a way. Patrick can't see a way. There's no way. There's just no way. So.
And I don't want to say this, like, I wish it was just lazy analysis or whatever, where I'm like, oh, like all that, like. Notre Dame is just that much better than BC, and Brian Kelly is just that much of a better coach than Steve Adazio. So I wish the best for all those who might be going to what looks to be a cold and slee game in South Bend, and I imagine there's a lot of BC seniors who are going to be there, and I suggest that they enjoy the trip for what it is and then not worry about it. So, yeah.
Happiness and good feelings on the show this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, I am finally understanding. I don't want to say finally understanding. I get it. I get all the fans who are really, really down on Adazio, and I'm always sort of trying to be positive, and I just can't be bothered anymore. And I think that's a tragic, tragic thing. And I'm generally very, like, pro-coach, and I think that there's a lot of things that they can't control that make their jobs a lot harder. And I'm at the point of where I don't even care who they replace him with. I mean, I do care who they replace him with, but I'm no longer thinking that that should be a factor when replacing him. I think it's just this team has stagnated. There is no improvement. It doesn't look like there's going to be any improvement. And I hope and I pray that this is Steve Adazio's last season at the Heights. And I thank him for his contributions, but I'm just kind of done, and I just can't be bothered to care anymore.
Yeah. I mean, goodbye, good riddance, but at this point, it just needs to be done.
Exactly. So, with that, I don't have anything else to say this week, Arthur. Do you?
No, I really, really don't. So, as usual,
I'm putting my energy for the rest of the season. They get, I will say, like, at the very least, Jim Christian has shown that he can do 2/3 of what it takes to build a program, and that is recruit, and that is develop players. And he's not shown that he can execute fully in games yet. And, you know, maybe we'll be having the same discussion about him in 2 or 3 months. But right now, like, I'm all in on them. And they're playing some fun, high-energy basketball. And I think that I'm more optimistic than I was about really anything. To be honest, I expected this basketball team to be miserable, like literally the worst team that has ever graced BC. And the fact that Derek Thornton and Jay Heath and CJ Felder have all immediately shown to be contributors is wonderful. And so I'm glad to see him thrive, and I'm glad to see some really great team basketball being played on the Heights. So go Eagles, baby.
And two teams that deserve mention, and just so our show tonight isn't all doom and gloom, two BC teams have done absolutely phenomenal work this fall season. Women's field hockey is in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament, and they're playing North Carolina, a team they lost to in a very competitive ACC championship game. They're playing them on Friday down here in Winston-Salem, down here also being constructed. But they have had an absolutely phenomenal season. They have a lot of young talent on that roster. They're only going to improve. So things are really looking up. I'm looking at field hockey's roster right now, and I count 1, 2, 3 seniors. They're losing Sarah Dwyer this year because she's a senior. Although, I'll double check that because I know she has eligibility left. She might actually. She only played one game as a freshman. But things are really looking up for that team. And men's soccer is another team. They have a lot of really, really, really talented freshmen. And they're going to be playing on Thursday in Newton against DL in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So if y'all are in town and aren't doing anything when the game is played, I'm looking at the schedule, and it is not – there, that being the time, I'm going to Yale schedule so I can give y'all a time, but really, really encouraging. A lot of really, really, really good young talent playing really competitive soccer. I can't wait to see what they do. It's a 7 p.m. Kick in Newton, so if y'all aren't doing anything at 7 p.m. and you're in the area, get out and support your Eagles. Because they are a really great team.
What is that out there?
It's Thursday at 7 p.m. In Newton.
Be there, be square, and support a successful BC sports team.
Yeah, because they have done phenomenal work this season. There's a lot of really great young talent. That's another team that, you know, moving forward is going to be really solid. They were losing one to 3-4 seniors. And just looking at it, I don't think there are going to be significant losses. I mean, obviously, we're sorry to see them go. But a lot of the talent that BC has been playing with this year are all very, very young players that are going to be on the Heights for a very long time. So how exciting is men's soccer? Very, very exciting. And so is field hockey. So if you leave this podcast with doom and gloom, don't, because there is a lot of really good things to be excited about on BC's campus.
But Arthur, I don't like being positive. I like just complaining.
Yeah, but that gets boring.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So, I guess with that, that sort of concludes our show tonight. I hope that we come to you guys next week and we are like, I cannot believe that BC busted out the quadruple reverse to score a game-winning touchdown in overtime against Notre Dame, but they did. I let fingers crossed, a little optimism. Hopefully we're talking about a national championship for field hockey and another round for the NCAA tournament in soccer and another, what I believe is a would be a ranked win this weekend for BC men's basketball. I think they're playing Seton Hall, so that game will be brutal and I look forward to it. They played DePaul this weekend, who is another good team. So, yeah, get out there. Be square. Support your Eagles and not just in your big three sports.
Yeah, so as usual, thank you for listening. Enjoy the games this weekend. Oh, wait, DePaul is not the same as Seton Hall, for the record. Seton Hall is much better, but DePaul still should be a good game.
DePaul's a good team, and they've beaten some other good teams, and they're also 5-0, and so I would be ecstatic if BC can sneak away with one. Yes, no, Seton Hall is a really good team.
I just can't say the sentence DePaul basketball is good with a straight face. With that said, enjoy the games this weekend. If you're traveling out to Notre Dame, please be safe. Enjoy tailgating and all that. And we'll see you here back next week on BCI Radio.